Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can go home and say we've been to church even after reading that. I preach tonight on the Christian's three most powerful words. The Christian's three most powerful words. The subject I'm preaching on tonight has been used by teachers, by counselors, by parents, by union arbitrators, by commercial ads. This time of season, it's being used by political candidates. Whether we like it or not, they're using it. Investors, doctors have used the subject that I'm preaching on tonight. The Christian's three greatest words. And you may be thinking in your mind, well, Brian, I know what the three greatest words are for me. Maybe it's God is love. Those aren't the three greatest words, even though they're great. The Lord is good. That may be some good words, but that's not the greatest in my opinion. Jesus is Lord. Those are three great words, but maybe not the greatest words in my opinion. Maybe able to save, able to heal. All those are well and good in their place. But in my opinion, the three greatest words for a child of God is, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Because there's going to come a time here in a few moments when the lights are going to be turned off. You're going to have to go home. You're going to go to bed tonight. Some of you are going to get up early in the morning. You're going to go to work and you're going to face a world that doesn't care about you one bit. But praise God, if we are persuaded, if we have a persuasion in our heart that Jesus Christ is with us, I'm telling you, it can be the greatest experience in your life, knowing that God is with us. We cannot fail as long as we are persuaded to do what God has called us to do. Can you say amen to that? Paul lived by these three words from his entire life all the way to the glory. He lived by these three words, I am persuaded. In fact, we can sum up his life with this. I'm not persuaded on what I feel, but I'm persuaded on who I know. And I think we all can agree with that tonight. Sometimes we don't feel like we're saved. Sometimes we don't feel like getting up in the morning. Sometimes we don't feel like coming to church. But hallelujah, I'm not persuaded by my feeling. I came to church tonight persuaded on who I know. I knew if I came to the house of God tonight that he was going to show up. Why? Because I brought him with me and I'm persuaded. Hallelujah. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded. Persuaded. The Christians, three greatest words. I am persuaded. They're powerful words. Think about the power of persuasion in your life. Every one of us are here tonight because we were persuaded. Three things about this persuasion tonight and being persuaded that the Lord gave me this week. Number one, look at Paul's conversion, the persuasion of being converted. In Acts 26:26, you don't have to turn there with me, but just trust me, I'm telling the truth. He was standing before King Agrippa and he was giving his testimony. Paul could have wowed him with his knowledge and his intellect, but he went to the Damascus Road experience where he was nothing but a blasphemer and nothing but a persecutor. But thank God the light of God shone down in his soul, and he told Agrippa, he said, listen, I obeyed the voice of God and God converted me. I am a Christian. I'm serving God. And Festus looked at him and said, I'm paraphrasing here, you're crazy, Paul. You're crazy. There's no way. You're not in your right mind. And he said these words in verse 26, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. You know what he was saying? I don't got anything to I know I was lost, but now I'm found. There's nothing hid in the corner. He knows all that I've done. You know all that I've done. I'm not crazy. I'm just saved. I'm persuaded. Persuaded. Listen, I can say I can save us all years of Bible college. Nothing wrong with Bible college, but I can save us all a lot of education tonight just by this simple little illustration. You know how you were out in sin. You know why you were a sinner? Because you were persuaded with sin. You know why you're saved? Because you were persuaded with the good news. It's as simple as that. There's only two types of people in this church tonight. Those that aren't persuaded and those that are persuaded. And tonight, listen, we need to understand that there is power in I am persuaded. And some of you tonight, and but don't throw me out when I'm about ready to get ready to say this. But listen, when we said, I just need truth. Well, listen, maybe you don't need truth because truth by itself can't do anything for you. I know the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. But truth in itself is not enough. You've got to know the truth. Truth is eternal. Truth is unchangeable. The truth will stand by itself. And it's not enough to have truth. You've got to know the truth. And knowing the truth means you've been persuaded by the truth. You are saved tonight because you are persuaded by the truth that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you've been covered by the blood because you are persuaded that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm telling you what, I'm glad I was persuaded by the truth. And I'm glad I know the truth. And when you know the truth, and when you're persuaded by the truth, there's nothing the devil can do against you. Well, how did this salvation, how did this conversion, how did all this plan happen? Because God himself was persuaded. Now put on your thinking caps with me. You ready? I know it's Sunday night. I know you're tired. Some of you are bummed out. But put on your thinking caps. God himself was persuaded. You say, Brian, who persuaded him? He persuaded him. He persuaded himself. You see, he did? Yeah. Job 9:8 tells us that alone, God alone spreadeth out the heavens. That means he has dominion over all the earth and the Lord, the earth is the fullness thereof, the Bible said. And so we have to understand that when God designed a plan, here's what happened. The wisdom of God said, how are we going to do it? Because see, God had to talk to himself. Do you talk to yourself? It's okay as long as you don't answer yourself. I talk to myself all the time. And God talked to himself. The wisdom of God said, how are we going to do it? The knowledge of God said, there has to be a sacrifice. The will of God said, this is a good plan. And the power of God said, it is done. God persuaded himself, hallelujah, to send his own son. That why we could be converted. And Paul said, I'm persuaded, Agrippa. I'm persuaded, Festus. There's nothing hid. You know all that I've done. But hallelujah, I'm not the man I used to be. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm converted tonight. So why? Because he was persuaded by the truth. And if you're persuaded by the truth, thank God you can be converted this evening. Amen. The truth. Knowing the truth. He was persuaded in his conversion. Secondly, he was persuaded in his commitment. In his commitment. You say, where do you find that? That's all the way over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He's talking to Timothy. He's giving him a testimony. And he's sharing with him, stir up the gift that's in you. The gift of God that's in you, Timothy. And he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And here it is. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He was persuaded in his conversion. Now he's persuaded in his commitment. You say, Brian, what was he committed? What did he commit? He committed everything.
He committed everything. He committed his life. He committed his loves. He committed his losses. He committed his gains. He committed his good. Everything that Paul had, he said, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I present myself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. He said, I'm committing my life to you, Lord. I'm persuaded that if I've done that, thank God you're gonna hold on to me as long as I'm alive. And as long as I'm on this earth.
Hallelujah. There's some of you that I just need to get some gumption about you. I need to be committed. I need to be persuaded that you have committed these things to God. And I know it's hard not to worry, but I'm telling you, if you've committed them to God, if you've given them to Him, you don't have to worry. In His time, in His way, thank God He will answer prayer. He said, I don't have to worry about it. I'm persuaded. If you lose your job, you need to say, I am persuaded. If you lose your health, you need to say, I am persuaded. If you get bad doctor's reports, I am persuaded. If you have sickness in your life, I am persuaded. If you have to experience death in your family, I am persuaded. Listen, we need to tell ourselves, Lord, I committed to you. As long as I committed to you, I know you're going to take care of me. Micah 7:8 says this, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. And look at what he said. When I fall, he didn't say, if I fall. He said, when I fall. He said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. You know what Micah was saying? I'm persuaded that when I get knocked down, I won't be out. I may be cast down, but I will not be destroyed. I believe Paul said those words too, didn't he? Hey, listen, sometimes we will fall. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But thank God if we are persuaded, when we are knocked down, we can say to ourselves, I shall arise. Hallelujah. I'm preaching, bearing your shouting tonight. Persuaded. Persuaded that no devil in hell can stop you when Jesus is with you. You know what the most frustrating thing is for pastors? It's keeping you persuaded. Yeah, it is. You say, Brian, what do you mean? Persuaded to do the right thing. I firmly believe that's why people don't come to church. That's why people just lay out on Wednesday night and Sunday night and Sunday morning do whatever they want to do. They don't have a care about it. They miss church and it don't bother them one bit. You know why? Because they're not persuaded. And I'm convinced that if you are persuaded to do the right thing, we wouldn't have any church problems. You know... You know when we have problems with dress in the church and discord in the church and when we have problems with certain little isms and schisms, you know why? It's because someone isn't persuaded to do right. I'm convinced that churches, I'm telling you, this is good preaching, you ain't liking it, but just swallow real hard. I'm convinced churches wouldn't need bylaws. They wouldn't need a manual so thick that it's bigger than your body. They wouldn't need those things as long as people were persuaded to follow the Word of God. I'm telling you. Thank you. Keeping people persuaded to do right. See, if He's worth your dedication, if He's worth your prayer, if He's worth your praise, you will do the right thing and you'll be persuaded to do the right thing. Listen to this now. The devil can't do anything to you without you first agreeing to it. Also, God cannot do anything with you until you first agree to it. So the question is, how are you persuaded? Who's persuading you? If you're causing discord in this church, God's not persuading you. Because God's not the author of confusion. Amen. If you don't like the hierarchy in this church and you're trying to stir up problems, that's not of God. That's Satan. It's discord. Am I preaching or am I preaching? You're persuaded by your flesh and persuaded by Satan. If you do things just to go against God and His Word and you're in rebellion, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And I would hate to be in your shoes tonight. If you willingly and knowingly do things in rebellion, I'm telling you, you're being persuaded by the wrong thing. Why don't you get in line, get right with God, and enjoy serving Jesus? I guarantee you right now, if you're not right with God, you're miserable right now. And hallelujah, glory to God. I preach the shingles off your roof tonight, because you got to understand you're being persuaded by the wrong thing. You ain't going to get your way all the time. It ain't going to be honky-dory all the time. Everything don't have to go your way all the time. Be persuaded to follow God. Amen. I might have gotten the flesh right there a little bit. It's all right. Paul did too. He was persuaded in his conversion. He was persuaded in his commitment. And then thirdly, we notice he was persuaded in the conclusion. You say, what was the conclusion? The text I read to you. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels and all these other things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What did he mean by that? He meant he had a full, strong persuasion. Listen to this, that basically came by the fact of his experiences through his life and experiencing the strength of God's love. He was saying, I'm persuaded. I've been through so much, and God has brought me a mighty long way. And no matter what I face, break these down just for 1 second. He said, death nor life. He said, even if I have to face death, the terrors of death, the fear of death, the hope of life, either in death or life, he said, I won't be separated. He said, nor angels, nor principalities. This is talking about good and bad. He said, good angels, bad angels. Good friends, demons from hell. They can't separate me. Things present or things to come. What was he talking about? The troubles that he's experiencing right now or the troubles that he'll face later? Little did he know he was going to have to experience jail time, being persecuted, almost killed. All these things, he said, it can't separate me. Height, depth, what does that mean? All the way from prosperity down to adversity and disgrace. Heaven or hell. Sunny skies or storms, it can't separate me. Then he says, in case I forgot something, nor any other creature, that everything else, anything that can be named, cannot separate me from the love of God. That's why I'm persuaded that the love of God will stay with me all the days of my life. There was a preacher that lived in Scotland. His name was Hugh Kennedy. And Hugh was on his deathbed. And he asked for his family to bring his Bible. And he was getting to the point where his eyes were dim and he couldn't see. And he asked for his Bible. He said, I can't see very well. Would you please open up the book to Romans 8:38? And they opened up the book. He said, I want you to put it on Romans 8:38. They opened up his Bible, put it on his chest, took his finger and placed it on the verse, Romans 8:38. He said, put my index finger right on the words, I am persuaded. And he moved his finger over by the words, I am persuaded. He said, is it there? Is it there? They said, yes. Yes, Dad, it's there. He said, kids, I had breakfast with you this morning, and now I'm going to have supper with Jesus. And he took his last breath with his finger on I
am persuaded. It's the three most powerful words you ever have in your vocabulary. I am persuaded. Some of you tonight have been persuaded by sin and the sins of this world. And really, tonight there's a battle going on in your mind and in your soul. It's a battle of persuasion. Satan is persuading you to go one way, while your family and friends and the Lord is persuading you to go the right way. Why don't you listen to Him, the Holy Spirit? Come and give your life to Jesus and be persuaded that you're going to follow after Him. And I promise, if you commit it to Him, He will in no wise cast you out. He will forgive you and give you new life. Do you believe that? Amen. Let's be standing.